Greetings, everybody. Nice to see everybody here. This little old hall, which we have such an attachment towards. Brethren, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, because I want to talk very quickly today about something that you might help you. It certainly does help me in the way we view our calling and the way we view just living our lives on a day-to-day basis. Because really, you know, God's truth, His calling, it requires that we live His way of life day to day. But what will make it really effective? I'm going to give you one point, one thing to focus on that I think will help you and perhaps make your spiritual experience more effective. And perhaps what you may see from this is that you will see that God really responds even a little bit more to our cries, our concerns, and the things that we are in need of at various times. Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances, brethren, where we absolutely cry out to God and ask for His intervention because there's absolutely nothing that we can do humanly. You know what that's like. Sometimes you get into a situation, perhaps not of your own making, and you just throw your hands up in despair and say, God, you have to act because nothing else is going to work. Please be merciful, and so on and so forth. I'm sure many of you have gone through that kind of experience as a member of the body of Christ. So Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and I'm going to title this The Greatest Faith, because you can experience different degrees or levels of faith or belief, you know, somewhat interchangeable. Their words are somewhat interchangeable, faith, belief, and so on and so forth. There is a lot of similarities between the two Greek words, but I won't go into that. But I'm going to label or call this the greatest faith that we can strive for. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Let's read this, brethren, with a little bit different perspective than perhaps we normally do. Let's take it to another level, because that's what we're all about in the Church of God, is taking our spiritual experience to another level, a higher level, the highest level we possibly can. So Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1. It says here, now faith, or belief, as you see in the preceding verse, in verse 39 of chapter 10, it says, believe to the saving of the soul, faith. Faith is the substance or ground or confidence. It is a confidence, brethren, in something. What is that something? What would be the greatest identifying aspect of your faith? We're going to find out, brethren. It's pretty interesting to read this. It says, faith is the confidence of things hoped for. Three words, brethren. Things hoped for. What are you hoping for? Think about it. You're hoping for a candy bar? You're hoping for some of the best chewing gum perhaps that's ever been manufactured. You like to chew gum. And I won't say a chaw, you know, chewing tobacco. They don't do that anymore. What is it that you hope for? We hope for a good job, yes. Want to support our families. We'd like to be able to support the church as much as we can to do what we can. Let's take it to another level, brethren. Let's take it to a higher level. Things hoped for. Brethren, we hope for the kingdom of God. That's what we hope for. That's the answer. That's what we need. We yearn for it. We ache for it. We desire for it with all of our hearts and minds and beings. Some of us in this room have been at this for decades. Some go back to the 1960s. Some go back to the 1970s. Some are new. Some go back a few years and have embraced this wonderful truth that is so unique. But it all revolves around and is woven around the whole concept of the kingdom of God coming back and being established on this earth. Now, brethren, if that is not true, we're wasting our time, aren't we? And the world has no hope. It doesn't. But, brethren, Jesus Christ is not a liar. God the Father is not a liar. The words they wrote in this book are absolute, they're truth, and they're based on promises. And those promises, brethren, we can hold God to those promises. And we can actually hold God to the fact that He says He's going to send His Son back. And so we can hold Him to that promise. It's a promise. The Bible is replete with references about Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. So I say, and I'm suggesting to you, that the ultimate level of faith is woven around the ultimate teaching in the Bible, the government of God, the return of Jesus Christ, the establishment of His kingdom on earth. So we take it to that level, brethren. We're driven by it. We're driven by it. So, we certainly do have that hope, but let's read a little bit farther. It says, the evidence of things not seen. What He's telling us, brethren, the things not seen, is that God has an eternity, a dimension that He has ruled over forever. He's going to bring that through His Son to this earth and bring us the kingdom of God to this earth. And it's going to change things drastically. It's going to really change this world, which is what we need. Mark the first chapter. Let's go there. And one of the most famous quotes that we have used in the Bible, one of our go-to scriptures that we've used for the last decades, perhaps it's more embedded in the end-time church of God than anything else. And for good reason. Because it says here in Mark 1, verse 1, it says here, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of that gospel, brethren. Without that gospel, you and I would not be here. The church of God would not exist. We would not have a commission. We would not have direction in our lives, not one bit. We'd just be wobbling all over the place. Well, who are we? We believe we would be believing all kinds of things. Yes, we would. We'd be all over the map. Jesus Christ tells us to focus, to zero in on the truth of His kingdom, His soon coming kingdom, the Great Commission of the Church. Now look at this. In verse 14, after John was put in prison, the end of his ministry, essentially, I don't know how you can conduct a ministry if you're in prison. You can't. It's impossible. So obviously, there was a change, and Christ's ministry began to take off at this time. Now, what was Christ's ministry all about? It said Jesus came into Galilee, the northern reaches of the land of Canaan, doing what? Preaching about everything but a government, a kingdom, a changed world, a renewal? No. He was talking about a changed world, a time period when God would intervene. And by the way, brethren, one of the blessings of that is going to be universal healing. Not just in the church. Brethren, we have access to that. We really, really do. We need to talk it up. We really do. We need to talk it up, brethren, and wrap our minds around that whole concept, because it's there And it is there for the asking if we only understand it and put our hearts into it as much as we possibly can. But again, here it says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Brethren, that you can make Christianity really complicated, can't you? You can kind of wrap it up in a package, put all kinds of ribbons around it, wrapping paper around it, make it look real special, all the rest of it, ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. But really, Christianity in its most powerful form is simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what a kingdom is. It really doesn't. A kingdom is a kingdom is a kingdom. It's a government. It's a rule. And the Bible talks about it repeatedly. But again, let's read a little bit further here. It says, verse 15, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, or the king of that kingdom, as we understand, repent and believe the gospel. Now, brethren, you talk about faith, the greatest faith. Brethren, the greatest faith is believing the gospel of the kingdom. Nothing comes close. Nothing. Nothing. That's what differentiates the true church from every organization else. That differentiates it, brethren, in a nutshell. I want to close, brethren, before we leave this scripture, I'm going to close by going to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're going to go back there in closing. But what I want to do right now is leave you with this. People say, well, I repented. Really? Do you believe in the kingdom of God? What's that? Brother, this scripture is saying if you don't believe the kingdom of God, the need for it, the actual truth of Christ's message, it's not worth a hill of beans in the ultimate sense, because you will not be born into that kingdom. True repentance, brethren, is necessary in order to, and true repentance is based on belief in the gospel. So, the question again, we go back. The greatest faith is what? Repent and believe the gospel. And then, of course, in other scriptures it says, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, do you believe that? Yeah, I do. I believe it, brother. You've got to believe it. You get into certain circumstances, that's all you have, but that's the most powerful thing that you can have. It is, because all the human things fail. They come short. God's truth and His working in our life to bring us to that kingdom never fails. Never, ever, ever. In closing, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let's go there. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Again, the faith chapter, isn't it? That's what Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is. It's known as the faith chapter for good reason, because it lists all of these tremendous examples who did what? They focused on the kingdom. They were successful in so many ways. And most of them are waiting now in the dust of the earth for that kingdom to come back, and they will be there, brethren. But Hebrews 11, verse 6. Faith is really required, but faith in the kingdom of God is absolutely required. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Various kinds of faith, as I said in the beginning. The one faith, brethren, is above all else, is the kingdom of God, the truth, the understanding of it, as we try to internalize that understanding. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Impossible. Turn it around. With the faith, the greatest faith, and that of the kingdom of God, you'll please Him, won't you? Turn that thought around and take another look at it. You will please Him. We will please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, of course. We believe that God is alive, real, He's lived throughout eternity. He lives in another dimension, an incredible dimension, brethren, an incredible thing. Christ stepped into that dimension, didn't he? He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Brethren, that's incredible stuff. Take him up at his promise, brethren. Hold him to his promise, saying, you promised, God. You promised. I'm holding you. I'm reminding you. But when I do that, because I'm reminding you of it, I'm not doing it in a brash way or a pushy way. I'm just saying, Father, you said it, and I believe it. So therefore, I trust you. Brethren, let's seek to have the greatest faith. Of course, it's all rooted in the kingdom of God.